From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Having large company actually solving real problems that impact a lot of people on blockchain is what this industry is all about. Because if you present the world, here's the actual problem that's solved with the actual solution on blockchain, guess what? That opens up opportunity for everybody to compete to offer those solutions. And that's much more sustainable business model than sort of trying to ride the wave that a lot of the you know, which is kind of the only business model that works right now for a lot of the blockchain-based companies.
All right, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to another epic episode of the Charlie Shrem Show, where together twice a week, we dive deep with some of Bitcoin and crypto's most influential leaders to truly understand how this movement came to be, where we are right now, where we're going. And I'm really excited because we have two great guests today, Greg Tsiourounis and Evan Chang. Greg, it's your first time on this show. Thank you so much for coming. And Evan, it's actually your second time on this show. So thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's really exciting times where it's 2024. We're in this, we don't want to jinx it by calling it like a bull market. So we're in like a nice growth market. You guys are the co-founders of this phenomenal blockchain project that has developed, that has attracted a huge amount of like developer activity called Sui. Is S-U-I. Is that how you guys pronounce it?
Yeah, Sui. That's correct.
All right, cool. There's a lot to talk about. What's really interesting is Evan, you have a background at Meta. You came over, co-founded Mistin Labs, and we talked about around the time that you were kind of launching the blockchain. And it was like the depths of the bear market. It was really deep. It was, you know, from it was maybe like a year and a half, 2 years till now, I think the last time you were on the show. And you got together with Greg and you launched this blockchain. And as we're doing like all this research, it's really amazing how much developer activity you guys have attracted, especially in this world of like so many other layer ones that are really trying to like reinvent how we understand blockchains are doing. How do you do that?
Well, so first of all, we always, you know, recognize our job is to create a developer platform. Blockchain is not really a consumer product, even though they are DeFi products and NFTs and all that, right? So if you think in terms of the value we try to create here, what we want to enable is to allow product developers to build new type of experience for consumers, right? This is, you know, otherwise, you know, it's what's the point of decentralization, right? The whole point of decentralization is consumer have probably the, you know, lowest trust in some time in institutions, and they want to have more control of their own information, their assets. Creator want to have more control. These are social trends that, and even AI, right? It's all about empowering software to make decisions or create things for you. All this speaks to the need for decentralization because this custodial or walled garden model,
yeah,
is max centralization that goes against what human needs and wants, right? We're already seeing the both the good side, but a lot of downside, yeah, of centralization, and that's why we're here. So you know, this is not a, you know, 1 year, 2 year of a gross market run thing. We actually trying to establish ourselves as a developer platform, and it's all about what we can empower them. It's all about the giving them the tools. Yeah, and that's where we are succeeding.
Greg, tell us about your background before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of the project.
Sure. Just to make a clarification in the beginning that you know, I'm sitting on the Swift Foundation, so I'm the managing director of the Swift Foundation. So Evan and another four folks are the founders, co-founders of Mr. Labs, which is the initial contributor of Swift blockchain. Myself, on the other hand, I have like an economics, econometrics background. So I've been contemplating between two worlds, the academic world of economics. So I'm a professor in the university, and also I've taught in various places around the world, recently at Brown University, where I do research on high frequency trading and the like. And the other path is entrepreneurial activity. So I've been dealt with setting up hedge funds, some of them successful, some of them not.
Yeah,
and then moving into, always. It's a good experience. Moving in payments, and I'm one of the co-founders of, let's say, the Stripe of Greece, which I'm originally from. And nice. Lately, I was honored to get involved into the Swift Foundation and help the efforts that we make in order to make the step of educating and developers and trying to bring them on the Swift protocol to build and make people aware of the Swift protocol. And third pillar is actually trying to enable the retail community to use the applications and the platforms that are being developed.
It's interesting, as as open source blockchain projects grow and mature, they have the need for a foundation model to kind of foster that growth. Do you think that's the best model for getting developers and just activity and partnerships and growth around these projects?
I think it's a necessary step because the foundation has to have a very distinct role into focusing on the community and try to increase the awareness of the protocol that is the underlying, the technology itself, and also have a very focused way of how to do that. And the tools we're using, all the foundations, are the usual way of enabling grassroots projects by, giving them grants and helping them in their, let's say, first round or seed round of funding. And also another pillar that is quite important for us, and we spend a lot of resources, and as a foundation, this is one of the mandates, is education. So we partner with top universities in the world, give academic awards to generate research that is quite behind, if I may say, into the blockchain space.
Yeah.
And at the same time, creating educational programs, either being professional educational programs or lower in the rate of, for example, we have a program that is being run in a high school.
Oh, already starting them developing when they're already in high school. That's really smart. I love this.
Yep.
I'll actually be in Greece in September, I think.
Oh, wow. Happy to, show you around and also walk you in the class of this course that we run here, actually, in Greece, in a private school, which is quite successful. We have 18 students that they just signed up for themselves, having knowing anything about blockchain. And the idea is to offer them a tool where they can develop their idea. So it's like an entrepreneurial business and tech stack all commingled.
That's the beauty of crypto. It's almost like that. It's really smart what you just said, because that's exactly what crypto is. It's entrepreneurial, it's development, it's everything kind of all in one. It's financial understanding and financial literacy, which is a huge part of it. If you understand our whole industry and what we do, you understand all aspects of what you need to know about society. It's a very good point. Okay, so Evan, we understand when Bitcoin was launched, following this UTXO model of blockchains, and when Ethereum launched, they followed this account-based model. And then the Sui blockchain is more of this object-based model of a blockchain. Can you please kind of go over all of that and talk our listeners through what the differences are?
Yeah, I don't think we need to go into the sort of that like low level technical details, right?
Okay, good.
But you know, sort of like UTXO account based model that's very, very tied to, you know, how do you track the transactions or, you know, the sort of the dependencies in a lot of way. So for us, right, we designed a completely different model. You can think of the blockchain as a sort of object store, right, in the database world, at least from tracking the assets. You know, just think about each of the assets on the blockchain is fully encapsulated. It's a global store of objects, and it's about the relationship interaction between these objects in a lot of way. If you think about the real world modeling of assets, everything is an object and every object is a composable, right? I mean, I'm just giving you a very, very easy example here. I have a cup with water. This is essentially two objects composing into one. The glass itself is an object. I pour water in it, and it's a different object. There's a state associated with this particular object now, how much water is inside it, right? So this is about, imagine everything is fully encapsulated like this as an object, right? And this is when people talk a lot about composability, they're mostly talking about kind of co-composability, right? You can have DeFi protocol interacting with other DeFi protocol, right?
Is it expensive to maintain?
No, it's actually the opposite. It's cheaper. The problem is account-based model, if you're familiar with Ethereum or all the other blockchains, which is the dominant smart contract platform. They're very, very expensive to use because one of the issue here is it's extremely expensive to store any kind of states or any kind of information about the asset you're trying to describe on chain. The reason for that is, well, the data model is wrong because you're, you know, sort of mixing the transaction histories with the states in
one thing, this, yeah.
Yeah, this is tree data model.
I understand,
Right. The authenticated data structure is very, very expensive as your states, global states grows in size.
You keep having to create like sub accounts and like all based on just one, like that tree model, like you said.
Yeah.
Where here it's almost like turned upside down.
Right. And this is why you cannot scale storage on any of the other blockchains. Even Solana, which is very, very cheap in terms of transaction, storage is expensive, right? That's why they have compressed NFT that has to store the actual data off-chain. They only store hashes on-chain. That creates other centralization factors.
So is Solana storing all like... So that's why Solana is so fast, is because every single blockchain will get to that point where scaling, you know, the demand outranks like what you can handle. Without figuring out, there's like almost a glass ceiling that every blockchain will reach on that account-based model.
No, there's two issues here, multiple issues in one, right? So when we talk about performance, you know, a lot of people focus on just scalability. You know, every blockchain say, okay, we can do this number of transactions per second. That's actually not speed, right? That's how much capacity you have, right? Think about going to AWS or Google Cloud or Azure, right? You're saying, okay, what's your capacity limit? Then they were going to be laughing at you, right? It's infrastructure should not have a limitation in terms of capacity. So your architecture needs to be scalable to meet demand, right? That's the, you know, that's one of the design point of Sui is we're not going to be talking about max capacity, but just because there's no such thing. You should be able to add resource to increase capacity to meet increased demand. And you want to do this in a completely elastic way, so you're not wasting resource. Then you define away that problem. Then you actually focus on the performance aspect, which is latency, end-to-end latency. You know, without diving into a lot of details, to overcome the latency constraint, we do away with unnecessary work, such as, you know, consensus for own object. If you have control of the asset you want to transfer, what you don't need is consensus, which is ordering of transactions, right? You don't need to order transaction that's not
if you're going
not
from
in contention,
like one object to another object, you don't need to have consensus on that.
Yeah, you don't need ordering. Consensus ordering of transaction. You should only order things that's related, meaning if they're targeting same resource, there's a resource contention, then ordering is necessary. If there's no contention, you don't actually need to order them. But that opened up the possibility of basically grouping different group, you know, ordering different groups of related transactions in parallel. So you should think about parallelization of doing concurrent consensus across different groups. There are other ways you basically sort of speeding up the actual processing of transactions, such as you don't have to do a lot of bookkeeping in a That's synchronous good. Way. You can do bookkeeping in an asynchronous way. So you limit a lot, you know, reduce a lot of the overhead. So with our consensus 2.0, Ms. Sadi coming up, which we're going to talk a lot more about at Basecamp in April, we're going to go for two round trip to two, three round trip type of latency. Like wow. This is end-to-end latency, like actually finalized. So give you a sense, right? On average, one round trip, let's say, you know, New York to London, it's about 150 millisecond or to 200 millisecond. So two round trip means actual, like real late finality.
Yeah.
Everything settled on chain is 400 millisecond to 600 millisecond range in the sort of P50, the average. Yeah. That's where we are aiming for.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how does Filecoin deal with storage limitations and what type of, do they use that account-based model too? IPFS?
Filecoin is designed specifically for storage. It's very different, right? You know,
Forget that for a second. Yeah, do you care about compatibility with like EVM and other blockchains and things like that?
We care about the ease of moving assets or moving states from one blockchain to another. So we do have bridges.
And a lot of
underlying bridge is sort of message passing mechanisms. So, you know, we're going to have a partner that talk about that. But if we to achieve compatibility means being Solidity or EVM compatible straight on, then it's not worth it because they carry all these other limitations, especially around security. If you have a programming language for smart contract that enables reentrancy, require the developer to basically become security experts to be able to, you know, make sure, you know, that all these very, very complex ownership checks are in place to prevent reentrancy when you have delegation, all these kind of or dynamic dispatch, you're basically taking on a lot of kind of downside for being compatible with it. And that's not the way to go. That's not the trade-off you want to have.
No, right? Of course not. You don't want to have that trade-off because then, like you said in the beginning of the show, what's the point?
Yeah, and they're also a lot less expressive. You know, if you see the quotes of our builders, like the guys that build the Solana's leading lending protocol, Solend, they coming over to Sui. Well, they are the one they say it's the UX is actually 10x better. Than Solana, and you can imagine how much that compares to
that's a great
building on EVM Solidity. Yeah.
So you have this Sui base camp April 10th in Paris, France. Greg, what are you looking to get out of that other than the good developer activity and having some projects and companies launch?
Well, the main goal of Basecamp is to bring everybody into one place, and actually it's we call it inaugural because it's actually the first time that, you know, all the builders, developers, and of course the founders are going to be there and they're going to share, you know, information about how things have gone almost 1 year since mainnet date. And so we see it as actually an event that they will, will be like very open to, you know, exchange ideas and of course share, you know, experiences, what went wrong, what went good, well, and that, you know, to signal to the community that, the projects are developing in Sui. They are, very much, you know, alive, and they have like their own, life. And of course, we aim to give a signal that the chain is growing very fast, and it becomes more and more of a choice to either, you know, grassroots projects or to enterprise level projects for their tech stack when they want to move or want to develop. From the beginning on the Web3.
Do you have like an enterprise division where you're talking to larger companies and seeing how you can work with them?
Well, I mean, we just announced, for example, the Athens, you know, Greek Stock Exchange is going to be modernizing their tech stock. stack on Sui, and there's more of these coming. So yes, I think you know, obviously there's a lot of developer focus, a lot of startup building on Sui.
1 year from mainnet, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're not there yet. coming up.
A couple of months. A couple of months.
Yeah. But having large company actually solving real problems that impact a lot of people on blockchain is what this industry is all about. Because if you present the world, here's the actual problem that's solved with actual solution on blockchain, guess what? That opens up opportunity for everybody to compete to offer those solutions. And that's much more sustainable business model than sort of trying to ride the wave that a lot of the you know, which is kind of the only business model that works right now for a lot of the blockchain-based companies.
I mean, that's really the business model until you hit a point of maturity, right?
Yep.
Hey, thank you guys so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for giving us the time.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Great, thank you.
I'm really excited to talk today to my guest, Corey Whitaker, on a couple of different subjects. And I'm going to say that out loud so I don't forget. I've been talking a lot about like proving humanity when it comes to AI, self-defense. Talk a little about that. I want to talk about the Ethereum name service, ENS, one of the oldest, probably really utility smart contract projects launched out of Ethereum ever. And then talk a little bit about the Tampa Bay situation. You're also Tampa based. And let's start with this. It's actually a perfect segue, but to give a little bit of background really quick, Corey Whitaker, you're a Tampa, Florida-based executive director of the Ethereum name service, ENS. Most people know ENS because everyone on Twitter and X and all over Discord and everywhere all over the world, even in real life, when you meet people, they say, hey, my name is John.eth or John.something. And they kind of like ENS pioneered that. You're a corporate governance expert with years in executive management, which is what crypto companies always needed. So, you know, how to go from our mom's basements to running professional companies. You have a degree in economics from Princeton, master's degree in political science from the California State University of Long Beach. So there's like a lot of really cool topics. I think what's interesting to me right now, I was just on another podcast where this was kind of like debated a little bit, but I've always been talking about like how, and you heard me in the intro of the show, like how, and I say how like this Bitcoin and crypto movement came to be. And I used to never separate Bitcoin and crypto. It was only when we started building things with crypto and stuff, I didn't want to like segregate the Bitcoin world. So like the narratives diverged, but now you notice it's kind of coming back together. You hear EVM, BRC20, ordinals, you know, runes, mint layer, checkpointing on the Bitcoin blockchain. Like there's this huge, like, I would say it's not only a renaissance, it's where almost all the money is going. It's the narrative right now, one of the narratives of like bringing those two kind of communities back together and growing on both and building both, because Ethereum kind of like pioneered that. Are you seeing anything like that?
You know, I know the last few years. By the way, Charlie, so good to meet you and thanks for having me on the show, man. And like we're down the street, we're down the freeway.
I love it.
From each other. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So I think one of the benefits, man, of the last 2 years, and on how there was this downturn, people were able to just chill a little bit, get back into the real work, collaborate, and develop. You know, so a lot is built during this crypto winter. So I'm not surprised by this renaissance and ideas and projects and you know, the broader crypto community coming together. And you hear a lot of talk around making sure that we get to a place that is cross-chain, where we're able to move assets and other things cross-chain. And of course, ENS has been cross-chain from the jump. But yeah, definitely seeing a lot more collaboration and energy, unified energy.
Tell me about like your background and why you came over to ENS and what's going on at the company right now.
Yeah. So most of my career has been in the nexus of business and education. For the greater part of the last decade, I ran a network of charter schools here in the U.S. Right, so I moved from controversy to controversies. That's my life here. Keep things exciting. But throughout all that time, I've always been an early adopter, super interested in tech. And so after I, quote unquote, retired from that work, I said, you know what? I want to get back into tech, and in particular, blockchain and distributed ledger technology. So you know how we used to get these email newsletters or investment newsletters, folks, hey, invest in this stock, invest in that stock, invest in... So years ago, I started to get these letters, snail mail and otherwise, about this thing called Bitcoin, right? But Charlie, I was so skeptical.
Who's sending you snail mail about Bitcoin?
Decade prior to that. Hey,
that's crazy.
Yeah, back in the day, getting these snail mail newsletters. About 10 years or so prior, I was fooling around with E-Gold, E-Palladium, and that stuff. So you can understand my sort of skepticism and hesitancy at the beginning. But really started to get fascinated with the possibilities of distributed ledger technology and found my way to Circle. So I Circle USDC and worked on a project on the talent side of the organization there. And saw that Nick Johnson, who you met last year, and he was looking for a leader for ENS. So we started talking, one thing led to another, and now it's about almost 2 years in. But if you think about what makes sense, I'm very interested in making sure this technology gets into more hands and more people across the world. What makes sense to me, and I think that will help this stuff scale, is something simple like a stablecoin and something simple like an identity. I think these two things will help us get to the point of mass adoption. So at ENS now, we're focused on continuing to roll out the protocol, get it into more projects. I think right now, if you're a new project and you're not a cornerstone of your project isn't identity, isn't providing your users with some type of human readable identity, you're just missing, you're missing the boat here. Because my auntie and uncle and your auntie and uncle, like, they're not going to get into this game without having something familiar like a username, right? So that's where
so you give the ability for newer blockchains or projects to like have it built into the decentralized network where people could, instead of having like addresses, could have these like type of usernames.
That's right. So one of the more popular social media Web3 apps that popped up recently is Farcaster. So Farcaster protocol, and then Warpcast, which is the actual social media built on top of Farcaster. And they're using ENS as their identity solution, right? You can either use your traditional ENS name, or they also have an ENS derivative, which is their Farcaster ID. So instead of using your wallet address as your identifier, you're using a name that you can then port to any other property.
Very cool. I didn't know that this existed. So I always learn new things on these shows all the time. I'm checking this out now. When I was doing some research about you, you wrote an article about, the title was Proving Our Humanity in an AI World is Not an Option, It's a Necessity. Mm-hmm. And the background, the reason I'm breaking this up, it's like out of left field, is that one of my best friends started one of the first Bitcoin companies was just staying at my house here. And he kind of built it into my head that he like forced me to make him like a solid sacred oath that any company that I invest in my VC fund, Tampa based fund too, it like we don't invest in anything that gives AI more power. It's more of like power to the decentralized user, making sure that we're not like getting to that point of like AGI or centrism, like where. And I didn't realize how big of a deal it was, because then I was like, thinking about, how do we actually prove humanity? And it's not just like a cap from a capture perspective, but even us talking on this Zoom right now, or whatever software we're using, how do I know that you're not some sort of better version of an AI? And so talking about what properties humans have, we can do, but then like the software will always be the middleman. And so how do we traverse Web3 by not losing the integrity of like proving that humanity? Like, it's just, it's impossible in my head.
Yeah. It's a hard problem to solve, but a super important problem to solve. Now, what I'm seeing is, like, with this power of AI, the ability to have like this hack in phone calls now, as you're saying, live conversations, you know, where you could have an intermediary, some type of app, pretend to be you, pretend to be me, while we're having a conversation, and like exchange passwords, usernames, credentials, et cetera, right? So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, how do we use the concept of self-sovereign identity, something that only you own and control and that's in your custody, and that somebody else can verify and prove that, yes, this is
could be a device,
Charlie Shrimp,
that you sign with an individual brainwave or something, and then a device like never touches the internet. There's like an encryption that happens, and then you could create a token that traverses. I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah. You mentioned never touching internet. That's a,
it needs to be like an air gap device.
Point. So something on you, eyeball.
We can trust encryption, and we can trust the individuality of like our fingerprints or our brain, something to do with our brain. I'm working on, I have like a domain name called proofofbrain.com. I've been thinking about this for years. I've been trying to figure this out. I started thinking about it when I was trying to prevent Sybil attacks on blockchains. Like, how do you get million? That kind of went away when blockchain started requiring a deposit of at least one free token in order to like do anything related on the blockchain. And then to do that, you need to do some sort of like human task, like join a Telegram or a Discord. But that can be faked now.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're working on now is, if you've seen the ENS profile, right? So if you go to Corey.eth, and you can see Corey.eth and, you know, several wallet addresses, but how do you know that profile is in fact me? You know, it has a little caricature on there, me wearing a backward baseball hat, a Telegram.
When can .eth become a domain name?
Yeah. A regular TLD domain. Do we want that, Charlie? That's another question.
Oh, good point.
Do we actually want that? Because when that happens, then you are now under the control of
ICANN. Like, map it.
Right. So there's some things that we got to figure out there. Yeah. So what we've done with regard to that, you may have seen the recent integration with GoDaddy, where now you can take any TLD, upgrade it to make it ENS compatible, and then use it as you use any other ENS thing.
That's truly amazing right there too. I've seen that. Like, you're going to have identity. I want to integrate ENS with like my local homeowners association. What are you doing with that?
Yeah. I was thinking about this thing last year. But coming to making some type of co-op where we can like vote on community things, vote together to decide, you know, what contractors we're going to work with, work on the lawns, et cetera, et cetera.
What were you thinking of?
So
we've developed all this technology, you know, all these different ideas and thoughts to like do decentralized governance on such a mass scale, right? But you live in Florida, as do I.
Mm-hmm.
Most governance is actually small. Mm-hmm. Like your homeowners association or your community, they affect you the most. These are like direct things that affect if you can park your work van in the driveway, you know, or that'll affect your business. You need to be able to have a say in something like that. My island, you know, that I live on has one bridge on. The town that I live in, the city commissioners are only voted on, like 3,000-4,000 people do a turnout. These are the things where we need to be like getting this technology in the hands of like local organizations to like really prevent, because, you know, you go to any town, unfortunately, and, you know, I don't want to call out any state or whatever, but there are some places where you can literally go and like meet all the power players in one bar or one coffee shop or whatever.
Yeah.
You can, it's not the way it should be. It should be where every citizen, you know, all the metrics, everything, you know, the sunshine law or the sunshine state should be all above board.
Yep. And I think there's a huge opportunity here in Florida, actually, and it's something you and I can chat about offline. But because of the sunshine state law, all public bodies, all of their interactions are to be done in the light. So how about let's put them on chain? All the various transactions should be on chain. So that's something I'm actually going to push for and see if we can get done here. But going back a little bit to the ENS profile, because before we start to organize in communities and do things like voting, we have to prove identity and prove your humanity. So I'm working on being able to add something to your ENS profile that will communicate that, yes, this is indeed Charlie Shrem, and there is offline proof that this is who he says he is. And then from there now, you know, you can vote, interact, verify, et cetera, knowing that you have some type of KYC, if you will.
How do you do that? How are you offering? Like, have you seen WorldCoin?
Yeah, I've seen it. I haven't looked closely into it, but like the
They're trying to do like that, like proving. How do you like? Can you maybe? I guess you could do some like offline KYC or something where you offer people the ability to do it. It's a great idea.
Yeah, so we're exploring that right now live. So, and I think this will be another way that we make crypto real, right? And we make crypto accessible to more folks.
What else is in store for the future for ENS?
Yeah. The overarching goal, we like to say, is name everything.
I love that.
quick mantra here, right? Name everything. Anything that has like machine language, hexadecimal language, right? Let's name it. One of the little known facts about ENS is that you can name contracts, right? How many times have you interacted with a contract, signed a message, and you know, you think you know who owns that contract or who's running that contract, but you can actually name a contract just like you can name a wallet.
Oh, you're right.
Right. So, yeah. So I think that's another thing projects should start to do. Name the contract so your users can actually see and have some sense of security in what they're interacting with, right? Another thing we're doing this year is going to be working on our L2 solution. And we have folks, researchers, looking at ways to go about moving ENS to L2 quicker, less costs. And then imbuing it with like other powers. Like I'm interested in creating like the identity chain.
There's this app that I saw. I don't know how, I just remembered it, but I don't know if they're doing anything. But I remember seeing a presentation and it was like a smart contract that you just send money to and it's like flight insurance delay. And it's like, if your flight gets delayed, the smart contract just sends you money back. And it's called etherisc.com. And I don't know if they ever did, it's like the last blog post is like from 2016. It would be a shame if they don't. Oh, crop protection, carbon credit, flight delay, health insurance. So I could totally see.
That's,
yeah. But I don't see any, like, how do you use it?
Is this Ether?
They have a cool.
What is it? Ether,
etherisc.com. I don't know. They have a dashboard. I got to play around with this.
Get it risk. Yeah, this is interesting.
Oh, yeah. Ether risk. It's a good name. But like perfect like that. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Decentralized insurance.
So I think that's pretty cool that you can do like contracts where they can do different things. Yeah. You can have like, we should be naming contracts. Like you can have like, you know, the Tampa City elections contract and you send the issue a token to every wallet of every token holder and wherever you send it. And I mean, there's all different ways to do it.
Yeah. There's this product that came out, I think in late 2021 called Parallel Markets. Their goal is to like KYC you so that you can interact in financial services. So I tried that service out, signed up for it. They made sure I didn't have sanctions against me, accredited investor, passport information, et cetera. And then they put a token on your wallet. So now I have a token in my wallet. And let's say I want to go bank at Shrem Banking Services. All I need to do is you just scan my wallet,
the token,
check for that token, and then I can send you only, okay, this. I'm an accredited investor. Here you go. That's all you need to know. Or this is my like income range. That's all you need to know. But you don't have to continue to KYC in location after location, company after company. KYC once, and
it's
then
a great
use
idea.
An ecosystem.
Is it up and running? There's
your wallet.
That's another perfect idea of like of ENS.
Yeah. So that one, Parallel Markets, it's up and running. Not sure how much traction they're getting now, but that's the kind of thing that we need. You know, so I thought about it with your idea about having a city token, right? You're a citizen in the boundaries of Tampa. You get your city token, and with that, you can log into an election contract, verifies your token. You know, and then you vote on whatever it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. That's the way it should be. But there are a lot of powers that be that wouldn't want that anyways. That's the problem.
Because of the transparency that it provides.
That's kind of like the
the
biggest thing that I would see be the issue. But that's really interesting. You know, I talked to so many guests that are really just building crypto for crypto products. And you're out there really building something for the for the regular people and for the masses. And it's very refreshing. Are you noticing like... You know, during the bear market, we weren't really taken seriously. It's a lot easier to like get things done now that we're in a little bit of better of a bull market.
Yeah, starting to see much more interest now. You know, people were sort of kicking the tires the last few years, and then 2024 came around. In our case, you know, it's interesting. Vitalik said a few words about us. He's a
oh, nice.
He's a fan,
yeah.
apparently. Yeah, and then you know, doors started to open. So I think we're gonna have a lot of. A lot of great things happen this year, but definitely easier to build.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate.
I should say, not necessarily definitely easier to build. Definitely easier to like make partnerships.
Yeah.
Build together.
100%. That's the biggest thing. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on the show today. I look forward to. I'll have all your information in the show notes, and I look forward to hanging out with you.
Yeah, sounds great, Charlie. Thank you so much.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.